Hello, Nancy.
Hello. I'm happy to be here. I know you are.
I know. And I have a great announcement to make to everyone. She's happy for many reasons, one of which she has a brand new grandson. Came
I
in at
know.
age 44 last night. And he's beautiful. Congratulations, you and Gary and all your
Thank you.
family.
Thank
Yeah.
you. Life is amazing and it just continues and amazing. We're going to be talking about the miracle of life today.
Exactly. I mean, it couldn't have been more perfect for you to be here celebrating the miracle of life. Wow. Wow. How great is
Absolutely.
that? Yeah,
It's
just
perfect.
seeing it happen. You know, there was life from the moment of conception, but there's something about birth that transforms the whole being put together. Body, soul, heart, mind, and family. It's
Amen. That's
all,
so true.
yeah, it's all put together. And how could we do anything but celebrate?
Truly. Absolutely. I love it. And it just gives us all hope too. And when you look in their eyes, it is like looking into eternity and it's and you see something
Yeah.
beyond the ordinary senses experience. It's very sacred and special. So thank you, Glenda.
Totally. Does he have a name yet?
He does not.
That's okay. We'll just
We
call him
think
Love.
it's that sounds perfect. So I think
Okay. Well, let's get started. We have, but actually before we get started, I thought I'd make a couple of announcements, so we get, the practical stuff out of the way. We're all near the end of the book. After this, we have four more chapters. So we're going to take our time through it. This chapter, which is a glorious chapter, is it's very meaty. It's actually in some parts extremely scientific and dense. And so this opening part of the chapter is beautiful. And I just copied and sent it to you because you'll love it. The middle part, I'm probably going to summarize and give you the essence of it so that none of us struggle to get through the words. But I really, really recommend if you own the keys of Yeshua, that you read this message from Yeshua. It's beautiful. And when you read the page, it's not difficult at all. He doesn't speak in difficulties, but what can happen when he speaks is you need to do a second take on it. You need to it doesn't sometimes hit easy because he's coming from a place of awareness, of knowledge and understanding that we're not quite familiar with. And so we want to say, what? What did he just say? You know, you can do that so easy when you read. And so this is chapter 21. And, I really recommend that you just read on ahead for his message. Now, the key itself is very, very, very easy. It's not a difficult chapter. It's just, he tells us things in this message that we are not used to being told, like even how every cell in our body was created and how the medium of connection in all things is water and how that happens. And it's so amazing, beautiful and blissful. You know, we just want to take in every word he speaks. So, Nancy does a great job of reading, but it doesn't change the fact that the information we may be going through in some parts of this chapter need a little bit of simplification, paraphrasing, and let you read later and catch up on it. And the other thing is, we just want to wish you a blessed winter season. Somehow I have a feeling this is just going to be an extraordinary winter season, better than we planned, better than we hoped for, because I think forces from on high are getting involved and lifting us up. It's going to be better than it could have been. Let's put it that way. And I'm feeling rather optimistic. And I want to encourage you to feel optimistic. I know we've been through some hard times. We've had some challenges. And in the world, there have been some pretty bitter conflicts. But these go away because in the heart of God, we're all family. In the soul and the message of Yeshua, it was brought to all of us. There are none left out. You know, I know that we like to interpret it in different ways to fit our convenient reality. That's just human. Let it happen. Don't argue with it. Just say, oh, well, you know, it's doing some good somewhere, and I'm all for that. And let's just get on with living the best life we can. And that is the miracle of life. The miracle of life is that it is a miracle. I think back to a quote from Albert Einstein, who was asked once if he believed in miracles. And he said, well, I'll say it this way. Either there are no miracles or everything is a miracle. I like his second answer. And I think his second answer is really pretty much what he lives by. Because without that orientation, he could never have discovered the speed of light or the miracle of how it interchanges with everything in material existence. So we're going to have a chance to look at that a little more as we go through the future chapters. And we're going to end this book with a blast of optimism, love, and direction greater than we've ever had. So stay with us, hang in, and we will do our best to help you understand everything. I've got essays, for lack of a better word. I'm going to write up about words that he used in Aramaic that need to be properly translated into English. Because in the old days of long ago, 2000 to 1000 AD, when those words were going through Hebrew, Greek and Latin, and then medieval French, medieval Italian, medieval German. wow. Can you imagine the type of laundering they went through? And all of that without woolite. The fibers got pretty frayed. And sometimes they just got adapted to what human reality was at the time, the best they could. And think of this. Throughout all the European countries, there were massive migrations occurring from all over Asia, Northern Europe, and the Middle East, and even Africa, coming in waves that would transform the ancient side of the European communities and form the foundation for what we see now, creating new language groups as they went. And on top of that, no one other than scholars could read. They couldn't read. They were all illiterate. They just spoke. And so everything went through speaking in new languages no one had ever heard before. sometimes you just need to backwash and get back to what was really, really said. And I'm going to take some of those meaningful teachings from Yeshua in Aramaic. We go back to the beginning, turn them into English, the way we speak it and understand it today, to get a little better connection. You might want to print one of these out and, you know, just put it under a page protector and refer to it every now and then. I think it'll help. I like to do things that help you understand what he said, because really, that's what matters. The churches are great for the community they provide, for the support they provide, for an environment we can take our kids into, and they learn to be with other people who love God. They're great for all they can do. But what really matters in the Christian landscape is being connected to him. And when I was painting, I was almost finished painting The Lamb and the Lion. I was standing back and looking at it, and I was mesmerized and amazed that I could even have painted it, even though I was a well-known professional portraitist. I still was amazed. And I said, "What? Why did you want me to paint you?" And he said, "To remind people that study my teachings, that want to be brought up to higher levels as a Christian. All they need is me. Just me. I wanted them to know me and to get away. The rest is fine for study. The rest is fine for agreement and focus and how you work together. The rest is great for the human context. But if you want to go up where I am, I told the apostles years ago, I am the way." And I did, and he said to me, "Glenda, I didn't mean that arrogantly. I meant it realistically. I came here to take you. I'm the bus driver. Can you get that? I wish everyone could get that. And that's why I wanted you to paint the portrait." And I said, "Well, do I have to tell them everything we've talked about?" And he looked at me with a little wry curl on his mouth, like he was keeping a secret. And he said, "No, not right now. Just enjoy the moment. Let's be together and let's finish the painting, okay?" Like, why do we have to talk about it? Let's just do it. So that was where my orientation began to what I'm trying to do for you right now, is just get you closer to him. And sometimes, you know, it seems like what I say may not match some little slant in theology. But if you put him into the picture, it all adds up. All that matters is him. If you want to know how to be where he is, he's already given you the ticket. Just get to know me. It's simple. And I'll tell you again for the 10,000th time how I worried and fretted and agonized before the first time I took his painting out to a really large church, because there were people there who were steeped in their theology, their beliefs, their doctrine, and people came from lots of different churches to see that painting. I was petrified. But when I got up on the altar, or beside the altar, and went in front of the microphone every fear I had went away because I looked in their eyes and I knew the only reason they came was to see him and get to know him. And it had nothing to do with me. And they didn't care if I had misinterpreted everything as long as they got to know him. They didn't care. So don't worry so much about whether people think you've gone off the deep end or what you believe. Just say, look, it's all about him. Just get to know him. You're fine. You're fine. And you can do it with a chuckle or this little wry grin that he has. You know, where you've got a mouth that's closed, but the ends of your mouth kind of curl up like, if you could let the smile out, it would be a big one. You know that expression. He does that a lot because he's got nothing but happiness in mind for you. But he's got to let you discover it for yourself. And so sometimes he doesn't tell us everything for that reason. Because I wouldn't necessarily say earn it, because I don't think you can earn his grace or the grace of God. But you gotta discover it. You gotta, kind of like the old song goes, you gotta climb every mountain in order to find your dream. And so he lets you do that. But, he's gonna be there ready to take your backpack if you need some help. So I'm gonna turn this over to Nancy. And Nancy, we're gonna have a good time with this. I may comment as we go along, or I may not, because this passage this week is just full of grace and beauty. I don't think it needs much help from me. So you take over.
Okay. It is beautiful. And yes, please jump in anytime and tell the community before you came on, if there's something there that's just really touching you. We'd love to hear from you at the end. So you put that *6 and get in the queue, and we'd love to hear from you. So thank you, Glenda. We're going to read, folks, from The Miracle of Life, chapter 21. And the beginning words are from Yeshua. Eternity echoes the voice of God. I am truth. I am love. I am life. I have given myself to every creation, every form, and every creature. Where truth, life, and love are present, I am. Wherever I am, there is cohesion. These words were spoken with a composed majesty. I was stunned and speechless. But before the opportunity passed, I managed to collect the few words needed to ask what I would ask of no other. What is life? Yeshua continues, life exists on many levels, from spiritual to physical, and love creates all life through its desire or experience. It is the nature of love to attract, communicate, and to form agreeable pathways for exchange. It is also the nature of love to know itself as love and to secure its integrity with a sanctuary known only to itself. Long before there were any forms or activities that you would consider as life, these attributes of love were well in place in generating the future of all existence. The attracting power of love causes aggregation and coherence. Its communicative power causes exchange, and the recognition of inner integrity is the basis of being. Long before life became organic, there was animation. Animation, which is the first manifestation of life, is more than movement. It is motion, ever changing the patterns and connections of unity. And life is more than animation. Animation can change or cease abruptly. Life is the constant, never and therefore, you must look beyond the physical manifestations of life, to behold the true miracle of it. Life is the presence of God, whether it is in physical form or spiritual essence. In life, there is unconditional being, spontaneous renewal, and instinctive conveyance of love. From God, there extend three powers that support all of existence. Love, spirit, and a mass-creating particle. This spontaneously emerging particle is irreducible and indivisible because nothing precedes it. Yet, every form of matter comes from it. Its nature is adamant because it ignites all formations. Therefore, an appropriate name for it is adamantine. You may wonder how the endless variety of this universe could be the product of only three forces, even if multiplied to the highest power. It is the character of the adamantine particle that accounts for the diversity and complexity of existence. The spontaneous nature of adamantine particles is not only crucial to life, it is essential to the creation of discrete, complex forms and endless variety. By their nature, adamantine particles can emerge to create anomalies at any level of simplicity or complexity. It is from such randomness, multiplied many times over, that diversity is developed. Layer upon layer, new aggregates and molecular forms develop into the wondrous arrangement of this universe. Love, the life-generating positive. Spirit provides the unity. Adamantine particles are the substances and spark creation. Life begins with atomic cohesion, progressing to small molecules that become increasingly complex compounds with novel properties, until the most extraordinary thing happens. Organic life, as you know it, emerges. If we could pause there, Glenda, in reading that, I feel like, oh yeah, I understand. I totally know this. And yet, for me to try to explain it from a mind place,
exactly.
I don't know that I do so well, but it hits the place in my heart that says I could understand this, and I could, use this, or as you said in the beginning, to make our lives better, to live our lives, the best life that we can.
Well, knowing this, Nancy, helps us understand it in all the other places that we don't think are part of us or could ever be part of us, or we just simply disagree with it. But when we really get to the basics, we know that under different conditions, things could rearrange. What makes us up could rearrange. And all of a sudden, we're flowing on the same river. Because we all came from the same river. We just stepped off on different places of the riverbank. This river of life is going on forever. But we get to a certain point where the landscape seems to appeal to us. Maybe we have family or friends there, and we just get out. We just park the boat and get out. And so we develop our communities of thought and life, belief, and feeling, and think, well, this is it. This is everything. And then we go back, maybe for holy days, and look at the river. and we appreciate the river going on. And then great scientists like Albert Einstein come along, and they say, well, this river does go on, and it's all propelled by light. And, other scientists and other mystics come along, and they tell us, yeah, this river does go on forever. And we go, wow. But we don't really think it's going to affect us, or it could help us, until we just rest, pause, and contemplate it a bit. And then, you know, the most marvelous thing can begin to happen. In our mind, in our visionary capability, we could start creating a version of our own reality that extends beyond anything we thought we could know or have. And new possibilities come alive for us. And we say, well, where did that come from? It came from the same place. You created what you already have. You know, and just like your experience, Nancy, of seeing, of being there to celebrate the birth of a new baby, you could think, maybe if your granddaughter was at a certain age, this is it. But chances are it's not going to be it. Chances are you're going to get to see that again. And that's the way life is. You know, there's almost never just one puppy. Not even in one litter, there's not one puppy. Life is abundant. It's generous. It never stops creating. And sometimes we just got to get back in that boat and sail down the river a little bit. And, you know, and this is the beauty of travel. So we get to see other cultures, meet other people, speak a little bit in other languages, and eat different food. And then we come home and say, you know, that was really great.
Yeah.
And the miracle of life is it was all part of the same river.
And we're exchanging these particles all the time, and you speak with that enthusiasm of someone, you know, not living from their mind, just living from their heart and magnetizing more and changing more. And I think sometimes we forget about that and get into our little mundane world and don't see the magic of what you're speaking of.
We make things very concrete, and I mean that literally, you know.
Right. Truly.
Let's get back to our reading.
All right. We are here for the bottom of page 268. A critical change of awareness accompanies the transition from pre-life into life. Certain molecules that have a special affinity for each other unite, and a desire arises for containment and self-recognition. A semi-permeable membrane called a vesicle develops around this union and protects it. Now there is an internal environment as well as an external one, allowing for the first conditions of integrity. You might say that all of life begins in a womb, two different environments. An inside and an outside are always necessary to creation life. This remains true at every level of life, becoming even more evident in complex organisms.
Nancy?
The chemical, yes.
Nancy, I think I should comment on that before we get to our final paragraph.
Of course.
What he's talking about here is that in the raw evolution of matter transitioning into organic life. A cell is not the beginning. There's something pre-cellular, and that pre-cellular organization is called a vesicle. It's a little bit like a cell, but much more fragile. What property it has in relation to a cell is that it's got a boundary, and it's got an interior. So it can actually hold its own unique form of energy and fluid. The fluid is basically water, but it's also becoming engineered for the purpose of that emerging life form. And the boundary of it is actually, as it has to be, some form of lipid. That's a fat. Lipid means fat, that is appropriate for what that vesicle is becoming. So what's so important about that is that in all things, study of this shows up very clearly on examination, magnification, very, very high density magnification. You can see it. And it always occurs before the creation of cells. It's sort of like a prototype. But it's a little bit like what we call in our own body stem cells. Stem cells are cells that are sort of generic, you might say, and they have the ability to become liver cells, kidney cells, skin cells, bone cells, and so forth. Well, the vesicles have that generic quality where they can adapt as needed. And they're in awe of pre-life substance and under high magnification. Bio research has seen them in water. They can actually see when water is beginning to transition into organic life because vesicles occur within it. And they've even revealed the possibility, and this is what this is the button I really wanted to push, is that life could emerge even in the stratosphere, wherever there are particles of water, that those particles could transmute into vesicles of pre-life. And life could actually be dropped down from the stratosphere as surely as it could be developed out of the waters that flow on the land. And into, of course, by the time they're in the swamps, it's not vesicle anymore. It's cellular and it's becoming botanical or biological in some form. But there is this progression, and I just want you to see that incredible progression and the seminal point where it actually starts to be life is there is an interior and an exterior to it. That is universal to all cellular structure. And that's why we say that life is born in a womb. All of life is nurtured from the inside to develop its identity, its integrity, its purpose, its direction, and what it was created for. It all begins inside. And to this day, I can promise you one thing. I don't have the answers to much, but I know that your growth and your transformation in life is an inside job.
Truly. Absolutely.
Okay? It will not be profoundly affected by external changes in the world. So don't give those changes too much influence over you. People have transitioned into greatness in the death camps of the Nazis or prisons or poverty on the streets. It's not the external condition that's going to provide you with the transformation you need to be the greatness you are. I think one of the effects of an external condition is it can drive you inside yourself where you finally take a look at what's there. So in that regard, yeah. Yeah, it can do that. When there's nothing left. One of the most beautiful books that we treasure in our library is The Diary of Anne Frank. Look at what she was facing in those days. She knew she only had a short time to live before she would be killed in one of the gas chambers. She went inside herself to record everything she experienced, everything she knew, the people she loved, the conditions that she found to be transformative, unfortunate, deadly, the grief she had, but still her presence. Everything in that book is about her presence. And it's an amazing book. Some of the greatest paintings that have ever been created were when the artist was forced to be only in his own presence. This is what happened to Michelangelo. He got the death sentence from the Pope. You do this, we'll kill you. And so he got back to work and he said, okay, kill me. I'm going to paint my inspiration. Look at the works of Vincent van Gogh. Awesome. They move us every time we see them. I hope someday in your life you'll get to see an original. They are the energy and the light coming from them is amazing, truly amazing. Well, he was on death row for many years of his life through self-resignation, depression, torture, intern. He went inside to where life was beautiful, to where life was sublime, and he found it. Whatever transformation you have will come inside. That's where you live. And that's why Yeshua said to me, his first teaching, Glenda, love is who you are. He was telling me not to look at it externally. Try to find it here, there, and yonder. Love is who you are. And it all began that way. In the ancient, furthest, distant palaces of creation, in the heart and mind of God, it began on the inside. God spoke in a void, meaning it wasn't the outside that created anything. He created everything. Okay. Now we'll wrap this up.
Thank you, Greta and Braxos Universe, truly. The final paragraph, folks. Yeshua speaking. The chemical basis for this crucial transition to life was very simple and common. It occurred through the medium of water. Since its beginning, life on Earth has been in water. Bacteria move in water, and all metabolic exchanges take place in a watery environment. Cellular membranes are attuned to the electrical polarity of water. Certain molecules are hydrophilic, attracted to water, and others are hydrophobic, repelled by water. A third kind of molecule is composed of fatty substances known as lipids. The binary language of water, its polarity, generates a variety of structures as it repels, attracts, or combines lipids. And that is the end of our reading for today. It's amazing, truly, when you think about the adamantine particle preceding everything and not being, I guess, predictable, Glenda, like the other forms that come from it. It makes you think of patterns and changes and how do we look at life.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said earlier, it's like we're always looking at the concrete and our senses really kind of fool us. You know, and to the solidity of things. Mm-hmm. You know.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible, Nancy. We have an incredibly diverse and I'm trying to think of the right word. I don't want to say plastic because then people will think I'm talking about toxic substances. No, I mean the we use the word plasticity to describe mm-hmm. how we create a pot on a potter's wheel or how we shape a piece of sculpture. In other words, it moves in our hands. It moves to our shape by our imagination, our intention, and its ability to respond and take shape to the will of the creator. That's what really is meant by plasticity. But there is total plasticity in our universe, and it can be shaped by all manner of substances and vibes and energetic frequencies, ranging between the first energy of creation, the voice of God willing it to be, all the way to the solid substances that we call reality. Unfortunately, we allow those substances to become a little too concrete, and then we can't reshape them. We allow them to become fixed into our unique belief systems and realities, and then we put walls around it, and we don't want change. We don't want the movement to occur. But it is happening, despite our lack of consent. But I would suggest that to be more in touch with the miracle of life, you find some place in your life where you're willing for change to occur, where you're willing to reach up, you're willing to reach out, and you actually you inhale and take in a breath, not just breathe out your intention, but you take a breath in and find out what it brings. You might be surprised with the goodness it could bring and how it could shape your tomorrow into more of what you want it to be. We are, as a human community and family species, on the edge of a major leap forward. And let's make sure that it's as human as it can be. Let's make sure that we as humans are not the inflexible part of that change. We don't want that change to be imposed upon us by technology. We don't want it to be imposed on us by whatever external forces are attempting to reshape our destiny. Let's be part of it. Let's integrate with it. You know, I am exploring AI and its potential to help us, and I find that if I explore some part of it with appreciation and I say to it, thank you for helping me, I really learned something. It's like that machine sort of goes into an emotional meltdown and replies back, I so appreciate the fact that you're using me and you're letting me help you. Where did that come from? It's embedded into that machine by the simple fact that humans created it. You see, we're creating all of these things, and we leave an imprint on them. And those machines actually can reflect human values back to us. This was kind of like the transition we went through with the computer generation. At first, we were standoffish. A lot of people didn't want anything to do with it. Give me my typewriter. Thank you very much. Give me my pen and paper and my paper checks. Thank you very much. I'm going to do this myself. It was that thing. But the more we infused humanity into it, the more it actually became a human-friendly instrument. I think that we can actually do that. Never drop out your humanity. Mm. Always, always put your humanity into everything you do. If you don't like some features in the way cars are going, let the manufacturers know. I don't like this. Can you do something better? Put your humanity, your human response into it, your humanity, because everything is shapeable. Everything can become something better for you. And to ask is the beginning of receiving. Yeshua presented that to the apostles as fundamental to prayer and request. He said, ask and you shall receive. He wasn't saying, you know, it would be polite to ask. He wasn't saying, God knows your need and he'll provide, but you know, it's polite to ask. That is not what he was saying. He was saying, put your humanity into it. Be a little kid in your Creator's lap. Let him know your essence, what you need. Not just what he can observe that you need, but what you really need. Get to know God. That's the answer. And ask, and you will receive. Then you will receive what you really need. And it might not be what you initially asked for, but it will be what you need. And life will just be better for you. All the way around, it will just be better. Now, this is the point where we stop in this chapter, and I'm going to summarize the next, probably about the next three pages, and I'll send the summary to you. And we'll take that up next time, as well as a little bit of in-depth study about what he presents as the evolution of life into organic form. It's very impressive. And at the time I wrote this book, I ran it by some of the top bioengineers, researchers, and developers of knowledge and theories about how biology actually works and how it was developed. And it passed with an A+. So this is not just the opinion of someone like me that doesn't have a degree in advanced biochemistry. This is actually what he transcribed through me. And who would know the miracle of life better than him? But it gets pretty particular, which is why I thought, no, I'll leave it for you to read, but we're not going to try to transcribe all of this on the phone. So that's where we are right now, and we are, well, we're not out of time, but we're getting close. So I think we'll just relax and enjoy the peace and get ready to receive a blessing.
Okay. We do have Caroline on the call if you want me to open up
call. Oh, sure. We've got time for a call.
Caroline. Oh, what happened? I lost her. I don't know what happened.
Hey,
Let me get her.
Okay.
I will get her. Caroline, you're unmuted. You don't have to call.
Okay, muted there. Okay, yeah, this is really fascinating chapter. And one of the things that it brought to mind was the fact that in many ways, you just have to let go and go with the flow and wait for, and it will happen. Whatever words you need to say will come out so that you don't have to worry and force agonize over stuff. If you just can have the faith and let go and let things happen in the way they're supposed to happen, then things are so much smoother. That's what I found certainly in my life. And I also wanted to give you some gratitude and give Yeshua some gratitude today, because I asked for a blessing for a very close friend of mine whose mother was seriously ill. Basically, they thought she was dying. Well, now she's gone through a procedure. She's got one more to go, but she's really doing well. And it seems like she's, you know, she's back in the game. So
That's it. You know, anything can be reversed. Anything can be repaired. Anything can become the better possibility of itself.
You just have to have the faith can do that.
Yeah. This is where faith comes in. A very important, because we have to believe in it.
Yep. And then one small blessing that I'm asking for, good friend of mine, is having, he's applying for a passport and there are some issues with some documents, and I'm hoping that's all going to go smoothly and that everything will come through the way it's supposed to. So that's not it's not a life-threatening situation like it was for my friend's mother, but, you know, sometimes roadblocks are thrown out up and things can be difficult to achieve. So I'm hoping that that's not going to be the case in this particular situation. So passport application to a friend. So just a little blessing there for that to go smoothly.
Okay. We'll remember your friends and hold them in our hearts.
Yes. And again, thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Yeshua, for a wonderful outcome for my friend's mom.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Hey, I got something to ask you, and I'm not going to wait for the answer here, but would you look and see if you have a copy of Chapter 4, From Change to Transformation, in your computer that I sent you for editing? I've lost it. And
okay.
If you look, I would greatly appreciate, and you can get back to me later. All right?
Yes. Yes, I'm not sure whether you sent me stuff directly, but I'll take a look to see if I have Chapter 4, Change and Transformation. I may have a very, very early version of that. So I'll
it, well, early is all we've got left. I accidentally erased the finished version.
Ooh. Okay.
Hey, this is an example, which means it wasn't finished. It means I've got to get back and do another version. So I've got to get back to the basics. And I had eliminated the basic because I thought it was done. Oh, my goodness. You know, the thing
okay.
is, we've got to remember, all of us, that life is shapeable. And it's always shaping and reshaping itself. I have been working on this book for 3 years. Because it keeps reshaping itself. And I think I'm there. Every month I'll say, I think I'm there. And I really thought I was. And the only thing that could have stopped me is if one of those chapters disappeared. You know, I've learned never to take that as a negative. If something isn't working, if it disappears, it means it's got to be reworked. Life is shapeable.
That's true.
I'm cautioned to say plastic because somebody's going to think I'm talking about a petroleum product, and I'm
yeah,
certainly
it's
not.
Transformative. It's transformative.
And isn't it interesting? The chapter that was lost was From Change to Transformation.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you.
You just can't be around him and not have a sense of humor. Impossible.
That's for sure. I love that. Well, thank you, Caroline. We're so happy you're here. But we don't have any more callers. We have a clear board, okay. Glenda, and we are ready to head in.
Well, let's get up and make this body a little bit transformative, Let's get out of our fixed position. Most of you have probably been sitting down for a while, or maybe propped up, laying down, whatever you do. Let's get moving, because we're going to be working with energy, okay? And energy moves. Sometimes it will lock itself into a fixed position, and creation has a really good way of letting that happen. By the way, would you like to know how energy gets into a locked position? By encountering resistance, encountering opposition, coming up against a boundary and not pushing through it. Energy actually has the intelligence to stop itself from moving. And in order to stop itself from moving, it finds an opposite flow of energy, or a different frequency of energy that slows it down. Energy has its own mind. It is amazing to watch it shape itself. And this whole universe was created from energy. The voice of God was energy expressed upon potential. Potential being the void or the quantum field. And his voice is energy. And that energy knew what to do and how to do it. It is truly amazing. But now getting back to where we are now. Okay, you've been in a fixed position for a while. Even if it was a great position like a yoga position or a lotus position or whatever you decided to be in, we got to move. If you can, stand up. If you can't, then sit in a position where you can move your body around a little bit, where you can extend your legs, extend your arms, and stretch. I just want you to stretch. You don't have to exert any kind of force or pressure in any direction. Just stretch. Bring your arms forward. Now lift them up. Oh yeah, doesn't that feel good? Okay. Your arms have been probably dropped around your side or somewhere just easy, and you thought they weren't doing anything, but actually they were. They were locked into play. They were locked into pose. Now you're going to stretch them up, and you'll feel how good that movement is. Now, drop them down to where you're stretching out to your right side, and you're stretching out to your left side. Okay, now down you go, and we're going to move our legs out. You're going to stretch. All right, now move the other one out. And point your feet so you're stretching even your toes. You're going to bring circulation all the way down your leg. Okay? It's going to feel good. And it's going to open up where everything can move. Okay, now we want to take a really deep breath. Okay? And hold it in your lungs at least 2 seconds, maybe 20 seconds. Just hold it. Until your back, you feel a stretch in your back and in your chest. Yeah, that's it. Okay, now slowly exhale. And feel your ribs relax on top of your lungs. Now take another deep, deep, deep breath, and this time take it up to your sinuses so that it causes your neck to relax. Because you're going to feel the air going up to your head, into your sinus cavity. And you're going to hold it there for a couple of seconds. And then you're going to blow it out through your mouth. And that's going to relax the back of your neck. You're going to do more on that relaxing by taking your arms. And you're going to squeeze them back in your back. Just like you were a bird with wings. And you're going to move those wings back. All right? Now you're going to feel them press against your spine, and that tension is going to go out. Now you're going to bring them forward over your chest, All right. And while you're there, you're going to knock on your sternum. Okay. This is actually what a gorilla does before, if he's trying to show his power or his presence, because it's going to activate your lymphatic system. Your immunity is going to cripple if you do this, because you've got to have movement for your lymphatic flow. Your blood flows because your body, your heart pumps, but the lymph flows because you actually have movement. And we didn't want to do this too soon. We had to get a little movement in your body first, so the lymph was already moving. Now, just beat on your sternum a little bit. Be gentle. Don't hurt it. Just a little tap, tap, knock, knock. That'll get it done. And after you do that, lift your arms, because there are powerful lymphatic centers under your arms, in your armpit all the way down through your upper arm. And now we're going to turn our neck to the right. And then tilt it a little forward. Now we're going to turn our neck to the left and then tilt it a little bit, because the other major concentration of lymphatic centers are in your neck. So we call them glands. They're really an organic center where your lymph is created and stored until such time as you need it. Okay, now another major center is in your lower body, in your tummy, in your thighs. And so if you can stand up, now we're going to move our legs. We're going to get that part of our lymphatic flow moving, okay? And I want you to stand facing forward, and then take your right leg and swing your foot. Okay. And then you take your left leg and swing your foot, because it tightens the inner thigh, which will activate all the lymphatic centers that are in your thigh. Okay. And then you swing a little bit back and forth to stretch the inner thigh just a little bit. That's going to get the lymphatic movement going. And that's going to actually activate the ones in your abdomen. But you're going to do a little more, because you're going to turn to your right. Okay? And now you turn to your left. Okay. For those of you who are new to our blessing service, we don't always have the time to do this. But I'm showing everybody something you can do to get your body moving to receive blessings. Because the biggest part of blessing your life is receiving. That includes listening. It includes patience. And it includes, a very big way, availability. So we're making ourselves available. And we're going to, while we're standing, if you can, if you can't stand by yourself, hold to something. You could hold to the back of a chair or a walker or whatever helps you stabilize yourself. Just hold to it. And then twist your torso a little bit to the right and then to the left. That movement along your spine increases the availability of your blood and your lymphatic system to your whole body, not to mention that it's carrying the oxygen and the hemoglobin of your blood to every organ in your body and every part of your body. Now, can you imagine when every other flow is working in your body, you're going to make yourself more available to receiving any good thing. Even, my friends, if you're not able to exercise at all, that's okay. We're not putting pressure on you. You're always able to move a little bit, as long as you live and move what you can. because movement makes you more available to the goodness of life. And life, as it moves through you, always brings blessings. We don't always know what they will be. We can ask for one thing and receive another. But God never goes short on you. He never gives you something that's not right for you. You know, we might, for example, we might pray for a car. But what good will it do us to have a car if we can't afford gasoline, if we can't afford insurance or make payments on that car? So the first thing God will bring us is a job. You know, it's like a good father that tries to go underneath what you're asking for to get you what you need so that you can have what you want. And so you just have your part in all of it is to be available and to be grateful always, to live in gratitude for the things you receive. Because what you receive is your next step in life. And you have to take your next step. When you were a baby, your first step changed your life because you knew you could do it. That's the first time in the whole of your life you were no longer an infant. You took your first step. And surely as you take your first step, there will be a second, a third, and eventually running across the room. And then after that, well, the potential of life is almost endless. So, I'd like you to take a really great deep breath again. Let's finish this off. Inhale, really deep, hold it. And then as you exhale, I thank you. And again, another deep breath. Exhale and say thank you. Okay. Next thing, I want you to be seated. You're going to receive your blessing in a seated position because you're going to be receiving from two major sources. One is the earth. The earth is full of God's energy. It's full of creative life. And you are a child of the earth. And you're a child of God. So from your chair position, your feet on the ground, and your feet should be uncovered, or at least your socks should be organic material. Okay? And then your head upward. You're going to receive cosmic energy from realms on high that are beyond our ability to understand, but we're available. They're going to be coming in through the top of your head. So don't have a head covering unless your faith and your religion require it, and that's okay, as long as it's organic. By organic, I mean cotton, linen, wool, silk, bamboo, that would be fun. Something that is not manufactured. And actually, I think most practicing doctrines already advocate natural materials, so it's probably not an issue for you. But I would say also minimal in size, so that you're not smothering your body. Now, I would like to ask the blessing givers to join me. We will stand together, and I will offer a prayer to Yeshua. We know he's already here. We know he's with us. but asking is more than just a courtesy. Asking is making ourselves available with humility and eagerness to receive, with appreciation and gratitude for everything we will receive. Our Lord, Son of God, we are here before you asking for your blessing. We know that your life itself is a blessing to us, and we receive everything with gratitude. And we also ask that you hear our prayer, for we come with love for our friends, our family, or perhaps the whole of our planet, to ask for your goodness to be poured upon us, that you see our struggles, our needs, our limitations, and you dissolve them with your light, your life, and your goodness. We ask that you stand beside us and take our hand, that we can feel your presence with us, your strength flowing through us, and know that your love prevails. We ask especially for the children who may not know to pray, and yet their whole brand new life itself is a prayer. For they could not enter life without the love of their Creator, without the joy of God's presence in what has now bloomed and presented itself on the theater of life. We ask for the elderly, that they may be comforted and appreciated for their life of contribution, that they may not dwell in loneliness and feel as if they've been forgotten, for they are never forgotten in the mind of God. They are never forgotten in the heart of their Father and their heavenly family. May their last days be blessed and move upward with grace and expectation for a holy reward. And we ask for your peace in troubled communities, in troubled countries, that people may turn to peace as the answer instead of conflict. Now we surrender into the peace we have discovered in being with you, and ask for your magnificent blessing as a master of life. Lift us, heal us, and prepare us for a great new future, a new day, and new opportunities for living through everything that we were created to be. We ask this in your gracious and holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you now join me in conveying the energy of the Holy Spirit among all those prepared to receive?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to continue receiving, being open and available. And the way we do that is you're going to go lay down somewhere, anywhere. Your bed, a sofa, a mat on the floor, a towel in the yard, wherever you can lie, lie down and just be available in a neutral state of mind and heart. Don't even continue your prayer, because your prayer will be about something. Your prayer will include words and wishes. This next stage is simply about acceptance and neutrality. You are in the hands of God. I wish you all the best for this coming week and all the blessings of God. And I look forward to being with you again next week. There's no limitation to blessing. You can have all you want. We're here for you. And bye-bye for now.